Blog Talk Radio.
All right, well, listen here. Tell you what, due to popular demand, and one of the baddest men in Gwinnett County, I have had to restructure and recontract this young man named Dave Emanuel. He has been, we've had a great time this past year, and we have, hopefully, a lot of things to do and to work together in 2016. I want to just say one thing about Dave Mayall is that he just doesn't stop, you know, pushing people to do the right thing. You know, it hasn't really affected me yet. But, ladies and gentlemen, Dave Mayall, Happy New Year, brother.
Happy New Year to you.
Well,
thank you, Tom.
How was your, holiday season?
Oh, I had a good holiday. A little bit too much rain, but we can't do much about that. And hopefully it'll stop for a while. We can dry out.
Well, let me ask you this. What are we going to do in 2016? And who's going to be on our, you know, show tonight?
Well, tonight we're going to have Captain Greg Perry of the Snellville Police Department. And in my opinion, of course, a lot of people think I'm a little bit biased, but I think we've got the best police department in probably the Southeast. I often say the state, but I think the Southeast. I know a lot of the officers personally, and knowing them both personally and professionally, they're just a great group of people, and they're out there to do a job. They're not out there to be obnoxious, and every time we hear a report about an incident where a police officer is involved, the people seem to always be very complimentary about the way they were treated by our police department. And Captain Perry is obviously knee-deep in what our police department does, and he's going to give us some insight into some of the latest trends in crime prevention, personal safety, and some of the challenges that are faced by police departments throughout the state and throughout the nation. Greg, are you with us?
I am.
Well, good. Welcome, and glad you could make it tonight.
Thank you, sir. I am excited to be able to talk to you all, and I hope everybody had a great beginning of the new year.
Well, so far we did. How's Snellville doing? We have a good new year?
Oh, yeah. We did great ringing in the new year. Everything went pretty smooth.
Well, good. Good.
You know, welcome to the show, Captain Greg. And you know what? My hats are, you know, is off to you. And, you know, although we have so many different things going on with the ISIS and so many things going on about the white on black and black on white, you know, it kind of, you know, it really is so inspirational to see a man of power like yourself to, you know, step up every day to the plate to take care of our city. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate that.
Okay. Let's, there always seems to be a new wrinkle to crime. And can you give us some insight into the latest trends and what police departments are doing to cope with them?
Sure. As a community in Snellville, I mean, we continue to see the same normal type of crimes that that every community sees. We continue to respond to our normal theft calls and our domestic calls. We were fortunate this year to have a low burglary rate. I think we had somewhere around 50 burglaries, which is extremely low for an area of our size. We've had some robbery calls that we respond to. Typically, we average about maybe one robbery call a month, so that's fairly fairly low for a community our size. There have been some new things that have come out as far as some of the phone call scams that take place. That's, you might have heard about some of the IRS scams that have taken place, or sheriff's department, or people that claim to be sheriff's department employees that call in and say that the person has failed to pay a fine and there's about to be a warrant put out for their arrest. So those type of phone call scams, we've tried to get the information out to our community through our Facebook and Twitter page to make sure people don't fall for those kind of things, because, I mean, there are always people out there just trying to get people's money. But we have had situations recently, and this is a little bit of a twist on the phone call scams. We've actually had people calling up, people on the phone, and actually claiming to have one of their family members held hostage, and they're actually asking for a ransom. And that's something new that I've never seen in my career as far as a phone call scam. And unfortunately, there's some people that have fallen for it. And as far as the way that we're trying to get the word out, like I said before, we're trying to use our social media and programs like this to let people know that to not fall for these kind of things. All the times that it's taken place inside the city, all the people that have received calls inside the city, and it's also around our area and even throughout the nation. I've done some searches on it. It's happened all over the United States. They've all been false claims. So we obviously don't want people to fall for some of those phone call type scams that people receive on time to time. Another issue that we're seeing in Gwinnett County that is really a little bit alarming is when I first started law enforcement in Gwinnett County, you almost never saw heroin. That was mainly an inner city type drug. You would see it down in Atlanta. You would see it in some of the major cities. But actually, here recently, over the last year or two, we're actually seeing a lot more people that are in possession of heroin. And we've actually seen a lot more heroin overdose type situations in our local hospitals. And we're trying to combat that through both training for our officers to be able to identify some of the indicators of people that are under the influence of heroin, but we've also actually issued out to all of our patrol people through a grant that we received where we have each officer that has a Narcan injector in the event that we go to a call where someone's under the influence and having an overdose of heroin or an opiate, that the officer actually has the ability to inject the person with the Narcan and hopefully reverse the effects of the overdose. So, I mean, that's a situation that we're trying to work through. We're not used to seeing that type of drug in our area, but it's something that we're working closely with our drug task force units to make sure that we network properly and keep that problem under control.
Well, aside from the drug issue itself, how often do you find that drugs are somehow involved in other crimes?
Well, that's an interesting question. It's kind of hard to give you a firm answer on that. I can tell you since it is the new year, we just finished up our yearly reporting, and the police department made approximately 2,000 arrests. That's about what we normally make per year, is about 2,000 total arrests. And out of that, probably somewhere around 20%, probably 300 or 400 drug offenses are a part of that 2,000 total. So I mean, we definitely see an issue with drugs in the community as far as who we're arresting, but it's not just that. There is an issue. It's not uncommon for us to go to domestic situations where alcohol or substance abuse is an issue. It's not uncommon for us to run across somebody that's involved with theft offenses, where the reason why they're stealing something is to finance their drug habit. So it's definitely not uncommon for us to have more than that 20% being involved with our calls for service, and that's not to mention the people that we stop for traffic violations that might have be under the influence of some type of drug, whether it be methamphetamine or marijuana or cocaine or any number of types of drugs that they might be under the influence of.
Well, it's the road checks are something else that I think turn up some of these. And I've heard a lot of people complain about road checks and the inconvenience. And obviously, it's a good way to find people who are driving on suspended licenses or don't have insurance or current registration. But from my understanding, it turns up a lot of other issues that might not get caught otherwise. What kind of things do you typically see in a road check in terms of you pull somebody over for one thing just to look at their current registration and license and insurance, and then do you find warrants out quite frequently, or what other kind of problems do you run into?
Right. Well, there's actually, quite a bit we run into as far as the safety road checks. One thing that a lot of people aren't aware of is that the courts have placed a lot of rules on police departments as far as implementing road checks and safety road checks. And our department actually has a pretty solid policy regarding how we implement road checks to make sure that we are doing those constitutionally and not violating anyone's rights. But the I believe back in 2015 we conducted somewhere around 50 road checks. So we're doing several road checks every month, and the vast majority of those road checks were involving trying to locate impaired drivers. The majority of our road checks are done at night, and one of the court rules that we have is that we're required to implement the road checks with a specific traffic safety concern. So we can't implement the road checks with the desire for what's called general criminal apprehension. So we can't set up the road checks to find people that maybe be in possession of drugs. However, saying that, while we're conducting the road checks, if something happens in the officer's presence, the officer can obviously act on that. We've had situations that people have come up that have warrants for felony violations, so they're fugitives from justice. We've had issues where people have come up on road checks that are, you know, maybe driving a stolen vehicle or have stolen goods in their vehicle. And we've actually had people that have come up on road checks that are trafficking in illegal narcotics. So I think probably the largest drug seizure that the city of Snowville ever had was actually located during a road check where approximately 20 pounds of cocaine was located, and it was pretty much the officer just stumbled upon it because the officer actually tried to get the person to have somebody come pick up his vehicle after he was arrested for not having a license, but the person couldn't get a licensed driver up to the location quick enough, so the officer impounded the vehicle, and during the inventory search of the vehicle located the 20 plus pounds of marijuana. And so for the most part, we can run into anything that could possibly take place during a contact with the citizens. So it is a valid method of locating people involved in criminal activity. One of the things that is a little bit concerning, and I handle a lot of our police department's Facebook pages, people think that road checks are to generate revenue for the police department, and that's really just not true. The last time we checked into it, I think somewhere around 1% or less than 1% of all of our citations were issued during road checks. So we can come up with a lot during the road checks, but the main purpose is actually just to make sure that people are safe to drive out on the road.
Okay.
Captain Perry, let me ask you one question. What
sure.
do you and how will you instruct your officers to be safe, to create safety in Snowville?
As far as personal safety?
I mean, as far as, like, you know, like I said, road check, you know, because you don't know today when...
Right.
You're just, your brake light is out. You want to just, whoop, you know, let people know. Because sometimes people don't know because their brake light is out.
Right, right.
You're going to pull up and just, hey, you know, your brake light is out, and all of a sudden here you are in a shootout. How
right.
can help old cops be safe?
Well, we try to train constantly. We try to go well beyond what is required by the state. You know, the state requires officers just receive to keep their certification only 20 hours a year. And we typically ask for officers to at least to double that. But, I mean, all the time we're involving, we're actually about to have a training class that's called Below 100. And the goal of that training class is to get officer fatalities throughout the year to be below 100 nationwide. And a lot of that deals with wearing your bulletproof vest. And I know it's kind of amazing, but you still have officers out there working in the country today that don't wear a bulletproof vest that they're issued. I know it's hard to believe, but we have a policy in place that the officers have to wear their vest all the time. We have a policy in place that officers always have to wear their seatbelt while they're out driving around, which you still have officers that don't wear their seatbelt. And that's one of the primary causes of officer fatalities in the nation is actually being killed in a traffic accident. So, I mean, we're constantly training on tactics and to making sure that the officers are doing the right things to be able to move through a critical situation and be able to come out where they're alive at the end and go home safe at the end of the shift.
Okay, what about personal safety for normal citizens and crime prevention? Now, you've been very involved with the Snellville Neighborhood Alert Program. How does that differ from your typical neighborhood watch program?
Well, it is a little bit different, and I mean, we've been involved with the alert program for the most part because we understand the need for the police department to be involved with the community, involved in the neighborhoods. The vast majority of neighborhoods have some small crimes that are going on, but we need to have that connection with the neighborhoods to ensure that those don't get out of hand. The biggest difference in the Snellville Neighborhood Alert Program is that it is a completely online program through Facebook, and it was set up by a citizen who wanted to bring a connection with the police department and the neighborhoods together. And it's not just one neighborhood that's involved. It's we've invited every neighborhood in the city that want to be involved. And right now we have about 150 members of the Neighborhood Alert Program. And basically what that group is just an information sharing between the police department and the neighborhood. So if a particular crime is going on or a particular issue is being seen in a neighborhood or a region within the city, we try to get that information out as a police department to the people that are actually close to, or living close to that area. And basically that allows us for those liaisons that are attached to the group, the group members, to then go back to their own neighborhood and their own neighborhood watch groups and provide that information. That way you don't have citizens that have multiple crimes, maybe car break-ins or thefts that are taking place inside the neighborhood without having any knowledge of it, where they get blindsided about it, you know, several months after it has been taking place. So we just try to keep those communication avenues open where we have the ability to get the information out to the public as it's needed. And so far it's worked out really well.
Okay, aside from Neighborhood Watch or similar program, what are the best things people can do to prevent crime?
Well, there's a whole lot of things you can do there. As far as being out in public, probably the absolute most important thing that somebody can do is be aware of their surroundings. When you're coming up into a parking lot and you're parking, a person should be looking around, seeing if there's anybody watching their car, see if there's anybody following them. That's probably the most important thing as far as being out in public. Typically, the majority of the crimes that take place in Snellville, like I said before, there's only about maybe one robbery a month. So there's not a lot of robberies that go on, but there are a considerable amount of thefts that take place and people that have their cars broken into. So that's one of the things that people can do is just be aware of their surroundings, see if there's anybody watching their car. They obviously don't want to leave anything of value inside their car. And if they see anything that appears to them to be suspicious, then they should feel like they should call 911. A lot of times people feel like that they don't want to bother the police because they're just not sure. But we never are upset about receiving a call from a citizen saying, hey, this person's doing this. I think he's watching the parking lot. Can you go check him out? So that's one thing that's obviously very important as far as preventing crime while you're out in public and not being the victim of a crime while you're out in public. Another thing you can do is if people are, as far as the neighborhood safety goes, is if you have the ability to get an alarm system for your home, you should do that, and you should actually set the alarm. It's very disheartening for the police department to actually go to a burglary call, and the homeowner has an alarm system, but they never set it. So that kind of puts us, running late to the call, where you know that maybe the incident happened a couple hours before that, and we're just now finding out about it. The use of video cameras at residences and businesses is always a good thing. Motion sensing lights, motion detecting lights, is a good thing to deter a crime, because the vast majority of criminals, they want that soft target. They don't want to have to go to a location that they might be captured on video. They don't want to go to a location that a light might come on to, you know, notify other neighbors or business owners in the area that somebody is in the area. So that's definitely some things that people can do to actually prevent crime. And also probably the final thing would be to just lock your doors. So the vast majority of car break-ins that we have in the city are involving people that don't lock their car doors. And that's something that people could do to prevent the vast majority of entering auto calls that we have in the city, and to prevent their own property from being stolen.
Okay, now let's shift gears a little bit and talk about driving. I think we've all experienced an enforcement encounter, and I think there are some differences of opinion about what is the best way for a driver to respond after being pulled over.
Well, there's and I agree with you. No, nobody likes to get pulled over by the police. I've worked for a police department for nearly 20 years, and I still get nervous when I see the blue lights come on behind me. It happens to just about everybody. So we all pretty much understand that there is some nervousness that goes on by the person that gets stopped. One of the things that you can do to make the officer feel more comfortable when you do get pulled over is to actually get completely off the roadway. We have situations that people get into the center turn lane and stop. We have situations that people stop in a travel lane. But if you have the ability to actually get out of the roadway, maybe into a parking lot, that's probably the best thing for both the officer and the person being stopped. That way we don't have to worry about getting hit by another car and having all that happen during the traffic stop. One other thing that people can do is they can turn on, especially if it's a traffic stop at night, they can turn on their interior light. That kind of puts the officer at ease a little bit, lets the officer know that the person's not trying to hide anything, they're not trying to be a threat to the officer, because we all know that traffic stop situations can be extremely dangerous for officers. There's countless times throughout the year where officers are attacked or shot at during a traffic stop incident. And the goal during this process is just to put the officer at ease. So if it's a nighttime stop and you have the ability to turn on your interior dome light, that's really a good thing to do. As a police officer, we're trained to watch someone's hands. So if you have the ability to keep your hands visible to the officer while they're coming up on the car, maybe keep them on the steering wheel. That way the officer knows you're not reaching for a weapon or anything like that. And like I said before, it just puts the officer at ease during the initial contact of the traffic stop. And one of the main things that we see on traffic stops when traffic stops begin to go kind of sideways is there begins to be an argument about why the stop was made, what took place during the stop. And it's always best for a citizen, and I've learned this myself when I've been pulled over by the police, is not to argue with what you believe happened, and not to try to change the officer's mind, because the officer believes that they saw the violation. So the chances of getting the officer to change their mind as far as what kind of violation they saw is slim to none. So the best place to argue about a traffic stop is after the traffic stop, either in court if the officer writes a ticket, or you can come to the police department if you thought the officer acted inappropriately and file a complaint. And then you can talk about if the officer did anything that was improper. So that's always the best way to handle the traffic stop, is to be as polite as possible, not to argue. And like I said before, get off the roadway, keep your hands visible. That way the officer knows the person's not a threat, because the vast majority of traffic stops are just that. They're a quick traffic stop, they either get a warning or a ticket, and the person's on their way.
Captain Perry, I graduated South Gwinnett. Officer McGill.
Yes, sir.
They created a law because he was a Snellville policeman at the time, graduate in 1980, and he then, you know, pursued his career, and he was with the Gwinnett County Police Department, and, you know, was pulling over, you know, either a DUI person on 85 and got ran over. You're talking about the lights. You're talking about the different things. But most importantly is he was just like, you know, Dave to me. You know, hey, most traffic stops are, hey, you know, you got a, you know, you got a taillight out, you know. What are you doing? Get out of here. We were young. We were 17, and we didn't have place to go. We were loitering, so we're behind McDonald's or somewhere else. But the thing is that, see, what people need to understand is people and who are like you, okay, Captain? And this is so important today when all of this, you know, shame going on about police brutality and anything else. I'm going to tell you, I give you kudos. When you pull on somebody, because you have to know what they might do. But in hindsight, is to say, if you have a problem, like you said, call 911. If you have a fear of something going on in your neighborhood, call 911. But guess what? Do not be afraid to call Captain Perry.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that there should never be a fear for calling us or a fear for bringing up any kind of because we're imperfect too, and we will make mistakes, but we always are open to improving. If somebody can ever think about something that we can do to improve, we always try to do that.
Well,
and
now
I think,
Dave.
Yes.
Now I'm going to bring on a couple of people as we come around the corner and let them talk, because this is, you know, this is so beautiful. Thank you, Dave, for being on the show again, you know, after, you know, a couple weeks off. You know, I don't know. But let's see if we can get a couple people on and maybe ask, you know, because this is when we need to talk. We need to have a public, you know, a forum for people to not be afraid to talk to Captain Perry. Is it okay?
Okay. Well, who do you have?
I have a 404-583. Welcome to the show. You have a question, comment, or remark for Captain Perry.
Good evening, Captain Perry. It's Councilman Bobby Howard.
Hey, sir, how are you?
Oh, Lord.
I'm well tonight. How are you, sir?
Doing good.
Captain Perry, you better put your seatbelt on. You better put your seatbelt on, Captain Perry.
No, I tell you, I'm probably a little prone to thinking good things about our police department. It's one of the jewels of our city, and all of the men and women work very hard to make sure that they, you know, protect not only our city as a whole, but those that they come in contact with. And I had the fortunate opportunity, and it's something that I try to do once a month, is I actually get to go on ride-alongs. They're accommodating enough to let me go on these things, and whoever draws a short straw when I happen to call gets the empty seat for me. So, but Captain, y'all have always been very accommodating when I've asked to do that things. But I learn so much about our city when I'm out there. You know, it's like our Citizens Police Academy, and the people, when they're done with that class, they've learned so much about the day in the life of not only just a Snellville police officer, but police officers in general, because there's not a tremendous difference in, you know, our city and another city up the road with regard to the challenges of the day. But I just wanted to say thank you for all that you guys do and how you accommodate all my requests and how you've supported the Snellville Cop Cab over the last year and a half that we've had that thing up and running. It's certainly been well supported throughout the state, and our city, you know, supports it without any question, and I really appreciate that. And I wanted to go on record and tell you guys that.
Sir, we appreciate it. And I'm glad you brought up the Cop Cab and the Citizens Police Academy. Those are two outstanding programs that we have going on right now, and we're partnering with you and the Cop Cab group and anybody that has the ability to join the Citizens Police Academy. We do that twice a year, and that's an outstanding way that we can increase our ambassadors in the community, as Chief Whitehead would say, and you know, move the city forward as far as our relationship with the police department and the citizens.
Absolutely.
Well,
and
listen, we're only on a short leash right now. This is beautiful. This is something, but I'm going to bring on an individual. Hey, Bobby, you know, you're my hero. You and Dave, I mean. Hello?
That's Tom.
Hello?
We have, well, let's see. Hello? Welcome to the show. I think it's Blanky.
Yeah, I'm here in the Atlanta area on some business. Actually, I'm from St. Louis area, not too far from Ferguson. And I was going to ask the captain, how should a person who's concealed carrying weapons in a car respond when they're approached by one of your officers?
Well,
is the question asked, or should they voluntarily reveal the information? So how did it go?
I appreciate the question, sir. The way that I've contacted hundreds of people that have been carrying firearms and probably hundreds of others that I never knew about. There's no requirement in Georgia to provide the information as far as whether you're carrying a weapon, either concealed or not concealed in your vehicle. The Georgia law, you might know, is that as long as you're lawfully able to possess a firearm, you can carry it wherever you want in your vehicle. But there's no requirement to actually let law enforcement know if you are stopped. However, being around police officers all the time, I know that the vast majority of the people that I work with feel more at ease if somebody actually lets them know that they have a firearm in the car, or if they're carrying a firearm concealed. Typically, that's better than us seeing it by accident. Sometimes people will have it in their car, and maybe they'll lift up their shirt a little bit, and you'll see a firearm, and maybe they're reaching for their wallet, and you think they might be reaching for a gun. So, to me, it's always better to let the officer know. But that's not requirement by law, but it is something that I think is something that I would do when I'm stopped. I always let the police officer know that I'm carrying a firearm. But that's just my personal preference on that. I just think it's safer. I think it lets the officer know that you're not trying to hide anything from them. And especially in the Stoneville Police Department, we always support people's rights to own and carry a firearm as long as they're law-abiding citizens and have the legal right to do that.
Amen. Well, Dave, listen, thank you so much, Officer Captain Perry. Dave, you want to close out the show? We're almost at the end.
Sure. I want to.
Captain Perry, can you give your contact information? And Dave, can you do that? And Bobby Howard,
sure.
You know, you can close it out.
Sure. My contact information is my email address is gperry@snellville.org. And our direct office number is 770-985-3548. And anybody that has any concerns or wants to talk to me about any community events or issues going on around Stoneville, anybody can call me and we'll do everything we can to help.
Okay, and I think we ought to bring up, too, if you have a concern and you just need some police response, the dispatch number is 770-985-3555. So if it's a non-emergency, obviously in an emergency you would dial 911, but if it's a non-emergency, if you call 770-985-3555, then they'll dispatch an officer to your location to assist you with whatever question or concern you may have.
Absolutely.
As far as my contact information, it's demanuel@snellville.org. And you can always reach me on my cell phone, which is 770-262-2115.
Mr. Bobby?
Yes, sir.
Can you give your contact?
I'd be happy to. My city contact is Bobby Howard at snellville.org, and my cell phone is 404 583-1099. And if you'd like the cop cab to come make an appearance at your group, I'd be happy to do it.
And for anyone in Snellville who needs media exposure, 2016, we need to come together and stop being afraid to help each other. We have 3, 4, 5, 10, you know, it's like 200 people on right now. And we have to learn to love in our differences in 2016. If you need media exposure for your business, if you're a merchant or your organization or a school, a nonprofit, please give me a call. Befriend me on Facebook, Tom Livesey, and that's L-I, V as in victory, S-E-Y, or you can email me at T-L-I, V as in victory, S-E-Y, F-L-N-B at yahoo.com. I want to say thank you all so much, you know, for you all taking time out, and let's see what we can do together to make Snellville better. How about that? Amen.
That sounds good, and
that's great.
We'll see you next week.
All right.
Thank
you. Well, listen, thank you all so much.
Good night.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.